Luke 17, 11 through 17. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that they, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well."
This section of scripture that we've read tonight relates to the thankful leper who came back and praised God for what had been done to him. Back in the time of these days and prior to them in the Old Testament, we read much about this disease as well. Leprosy was almost like a death sentence for people because of what had to happen, especially among the Jews, where according to the law of Moses, as God had given it to him, when you were found with leprosy, when that was realized that you had that disease, then you were to live apart from the rest of the camp. You were outside the camp. And they were often found in groups. The lepers would congregate together, but they had to keep their distance from people. So it didn't matter if you were, a husband, if you were father of young children, you were gone. You were separated. And so you can imagine the trauma that that would have placed upon families and just individuals who were discovered to have leprosy and what they would have to live through. And this was a very difficult thing for people because of the fact that that disease would last many years. Some people would die from it. It was a very, very challenging situation. And yet, that mindset that the people had toward leprosy, just being terrified of that and be afraid of what it would do and how it would affect one, is the exact same mindset really that we should have today toward sin. Sin is what defiles us. Sin will separate us from God for all eternity if we persist in it, if we don't take care of that, if we don't get cleansed of our sins. And yet, how sad it is today that most people don't think of sin in such a serious fashion. It doesn't fill them with great terror, fear. They don't think of it in terms of what's going to happen to me because of this. And so, oftentimes in our world, people just continue to live not realizing what it is that defiles them spiritually. Leprosy is caused by a bacteria. Today there's ways in which it can be treated, but back in that time, this was something very, very serious and traumatic. But we see today that there needs to be, from us, lessons learned by looking back to things that happened, to responses to healing as we see here, and think about how blessed we are that we have a God who has taken care of a universal problem that defiles all people. He has taken care of it in a way where it is completely destroyed. Sin can be destroyed by God. We don't have to be plagued by it. We don't have to lose our souls because of it. Instead, through Christ, we're not only healed, but we can inherit eternal life. Great blessings. And then, we are blessed as Christians to go forth in this world looking for spiritual lepers, showing people where they presently stand in sin, helping them to see the ugliness of the leprosy that defiles the soul, so that they can hopefully turn to the Lord who can heal them. Because He has the cure for sin. So as we study together tonight from this brief passage, Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, we will be looking at this section and notice a few things that we observe taking place here. In verse 11, of course, we see where Jesus is headed. He has is coming from the north. Some believe that between verses 10 and 11 is when Jesus had actually gone and healed Lazarus, and he was in that area, and then he had traveled from there because of what the Jews were seeking to do and seeking to take his life and kill him. And then he had gone to a city called Ephraim, which was in the north. And then now he is heading back south, and he's going south to Jerusalem, and that's why he passes through both Samaria and Galilee. And in this region, of course, you have Jews who inhabited the region of Galilee, where Jesus did much of his ministry in that area. He was well known during that time in his early ministry in Capernaum and other regions of Galilee. His fame spread. He was widely known as a healer and all the things that he was doing. And of course, Samaria is in this region as well. So he was known by the Samaritans who had heard of this great healer among the Jews. So then, verse 12, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers and were told who stood afar off. And these men, of course, who keep their distance, do so because of what the law of Moses told them regarding their leprosy. And of course, as we look here at this section, especially verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So here are these men crying out. And so the first thing that we notice is in verse 13, the idea of hope. These men are crying out because they know who this is, and they know there is hope that what they are afflicted with can be dealt with and that they can be cured. And so they're crying out. They know who this is. This is Jesus. They call him Master. And they plead with God for mercy. In Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, we read these words. It says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So these men had to cry out so that they could alert people to the fact that they're nearby. They were kept at a distance. And these men had been afflicted with leprosy for some time. You likely had, you know, varying spans of time that these men, these ten that Jesus comes into contact with, are afflicted. But they're crying out, and they are at a distance, but they have hope because they know who it was that they were speaking to, that Jesus could help them. As we said earlier, his fame had spread. But as you notice, when they cry out here, as they call upon the Lord for help, there is that recognition of his identity. This is where men today can also come to the point where their hearts are filled with hope. It's the realization that, first of all, they understand what they are afflicted with. They have to see that first. You know, a person with leprosy wouldn't know that he had that affliction until the signs began to be seen in their flesh. We learn today that the incubation period for that particular bacterium is, you know, 5, even 20 years. And then they start, you know, the effects of that can start to be seen. But these men, when they saw when their leprosy became known to them, then they would realize things had to be done. And of course, today our realization is that we are afflicted with sin. We understand we have to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. But there are many people around us who don't understand that. Or they have been told that you can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ by simply believing on Him. So there is, first of all, the need to acknowledge the healer, who that is and who you have to turn to. But then you have to find out how it is that you're going to be healed. In the case of these men, as we'll notice in verse 14, as we look at the next idea, and that is the point concerning healing that takes place, these men had to comply with the law. Jesus is telling them, as they say, "Master, have mercy on us." He, when he sees them, he says to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." So that's what he tells them to do. He doesn't say to them, "Be healed." He says, "You go, show yourself to the priest." They had to do that because that was a part of the law of Moses. One of the requirements of the law was present yourself to the priest. The priest is the one who would examine them, see whether or not they were clean, if they still had the leprosy. All of that was done. But there was a process to go through, and it was all about complying with what God's law taught. So Jesus says, here's what Moses says. You go and you show yourself to the priest. And there in verse 14, "And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed." So here, as these men listen and they hear Jesus telling them, "Go show yourself to the priest," clearly they turn and they start making their way. At some point, they realize that they no longer have leprosy, that they're cleansed. Now, that wouldn't be too difficult to determine, especially if someone had had leprosy for quite some time, because it's disfiguring. The face will become it's almost like swollen and scaly, and of course there are lesions that will appear in the body, and oftentimes people with leprosy, because of the nature of leprosy, would suffer infection from, you know, it would be a secondary problem that they would deal with, which would be infection in the lesions that they would have. And so they could very clearly see, if they looked at each other, maybe even the sense of feeling that they would have, because it affected the nerves as well, they realized that they were healed. And you can imagine the joy that they would have been felt with, and the desire to reunite with people that they had been separated from for so long. To go and to be with, you know, see their wives, their children, their parents. This disease, of course, would affect people of all ages. There were pictures I saw online of little children, 5 years old, 13 years old, affected with leprosy. But these men comply with the Lord's command, and as they go, they are cleansed. And that's clearly a part of God's plan for cleansing us when it comes to the problem of sin. Sin causes eternal separation from God. And if we want to be cleansed of sin, as we certainly can, we have to comply with God's conditions. He's ready to cleanse. He calls people to come and be cleansed. But we have to consider what He has spoken in His Word. And it begins with faith in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't end there. Because in fact, Peter explains to us that baptism is compared to what the Ark of Noah did in the days of the flood, which when the floodwaters came upon the earth, the water lifted the flood above the destruction, and they were saved by water. And we're told by Peter, that's what baptism does as well. Baptism does also now save us. We have to help people to understand. You've done right in acknowledging that Jesus is the source. But you must be baptized in order to be saved. And furthermore, you have to be understanding what you're being added to. When you're baptized for the remission of your sins, it's not to be added to a church of men. It's to be added to the body of Jesus Christ. When Philip preached in Acts chapter 8, he preached things pertaining to Christ, but also pertaining to the kingdom. They understood what the kingdom was, and we must today help people to understand how exactly this healing can take place. Because as we all know, Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the solution, Christ Jesus. But we have to be in Him, and there's a way by which God has made possible all men to come into Christ to be healed of sin. Would these individuals, their shame and humiliation was gone? They looked normal again? They were no longer going to be separated from their families? What a wonderful time of rejoicing. And that, of course, that healing that we have spiritually, we should meditate on, we should think about just exactly what God has done for us. We're not going to be separated from God. We're not separated from the saved, because sin actually separates us from our family of God as well. In fact, we know from the Scriptures, if we as God's people were to persist in sin and we don't repent of our sin, the church withdraws from us. There is a separation that occurs. That's actually to help one become ashamed, to turn away from that sin, to be healed once again by the blood of Jesus Christ, turning to God in prayer as a child of God who has erred from the faith. But that happens, that discipline from God, so that there won't be an eternal separation. And then, of course, those who haven't yet even named the name of Christ are separated from God. So the healing that God provides through the blood of His Son protects us from that separation, but also there's no longer the bearing of the shame and the guilt of sin. That's removed as well. When we sin, yes, we should feel guilty. But when we're washed by the blood of Christ, God has completely washed away that sin. It's no longer a burden we have to bear. It's no longer a thing in our mind that should cause us continued shame, since we've ceased from sin, since God has forgiven that sin. Shame is gone as well. And we continue to walk with the Lord day by day in the light. But then, in verses 15 and following, we see this point, and we simply call it hallelujah. Because, of course, these men were filled with great joy, but the word hallelujah, as you may remember, means praise the Lord. You find that word throughout the Psalms. Sometimes it might be translated hallelujah or alleluia, or it may just simply be translated praise the Lord. It's a Hebrew word. And that's what we find with one individual who the Bible says comes back. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Here we see this man's realization. One of them. They all realize that they were healed. But one of them, when he realizes that he is healed, he saw it, that he was healed. He beheld it. It says he returned. When we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not something visual. You know, you don't look at your body and see that sin has been washed away, but you know it nonetheless. It's a realization. It's absolutely certain, because you understand through what God's Word reveals to you that when you are baptized, that God promises to wash away your sin. And you know that God does what He promises to do. Therefore, you understand completely that there has been a cleansing that is just a transformational event that has taken place in your life, because what you have been burdened with, what has stained your soul, what had separated you from God, what had you on the path that leads to eternal destruction has been completely removed. That's a realization that we have. And that realization ought to produce the kind of response that we see in this man here. It's like the response that we read of in Acts chapter 8 when Philip is told, join yourself to that chariot. And he conveys the gospel message to a certain eunuch. The eunuchs could have nothing to do with the temple. They could have no proximity in even drawing near to the temple because they were eunuchs. That was true of people who were born with deformities and handicaps as well. That was the law of God. Here is a man then in Acts chapter 8, a eunuch who is cleansed from his sins, who is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're told at the end of Acts chapter 8 that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. The view of the eunuch transformed and changed from one who lived under the old law to the new law. Because a eunuch under the old law, as we mentioned, couldn't come into the places that others could in the temple area. But now, the eunuch was a part of the temple. He was a part of the body of Christ. He was one of the stones that made up the temple, Christ being the chief cornerstone. He was one who now, as a part of the body of Christ, was a priest within the temple of God. And thus, great cause for rejoicing. We as God's people have great reason to sing hallelujah or praise the Lord for the good that God has shown us, for what He has done in making us heirs of eternal life, for bringing us from death to life, giving us hope of living forever, and all the promises, the joys that await us in heaven, things that we are only given glimpses of, but which will be revealed one day when we pass through the gates. And so this man returns, we're told, to Jesus. It says, with a loud voice, he glorifies God. He falls on his face at the feet of Jesus, and he gave him thanks. The word glorification there in the New King James is a word that means to praise, to honor, to extol, which is what he did. He is lifting up God. He is praising God. He is honoring God because he knows that God has made him whole. The power of God has made him whole. Every day that we live as saved individuals walking with the Lord. Sometimes we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, reminding us of the fact that we ought to be giving thanks on a regular basis to God for what He does every day. In so many ways, there's so much to give thanks for, but then there's that constant reminder of what we have through Jesus Christ, who has made possible our eternal life. Every day we're growing older. We can feel it in our bodies. We detect it. But yet we're never growing old in the spiritual sense. We're being renewed day by day. We're actually growing stronger. We're growing more mature. We're advancing in the inner man. And that's all because of what God has done through His Son. Thanksgiving. to Jesus, to our Father, every day of our lives should be remembered because of what has been done for us. Here is a man so filled with gratitude, a physical disease removed from his body. Can you imagine this man going back to... Just imagine that he knew, he didn't, but imagine he knew where he picked up leprosy, where he contracted it. Can you imagine this man going back and catching leprosy again, deliberately doing that so that he would once again fall into the same condition? We need to remember that. We are cleansed, we are saved, we have hope. Let us never go back. And yet there's warnings in the Scriptures. Because, you see, sin, we don't see it with our eyes. We don't look at ourselves if we fall into sin and say, oh, lesions, infection. We don't see that. But the reality is it's worse than that. And Peter describes it as a sow that was washed, returning to the mire. A dog returning to his vomit. It's repulsive to us, those pictures that we get. And yet, he says that's what it's like, going back to that. We rejoice for what God has done. Let us stay clean. Let us remain cleansed by never going back to that which the Lord has freed us from. That's the point that the Apostle Paul makes in Romans chapter 6. You were slaves to sin. Now you're slaves of righteousness. And yet how frequent it is that people will turn back to those ways. Sometimes we stumble into sin. Let's resume always our walk with God. Never let Satan entice you to go to a life of sin, to be drawn into something that will separate your soul from God eternally. Thanksgiving is given to God, and Jesus... observation is seen. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Here is a man that is cleansed. Jesus is observing the sad fact that oftentimes we aren't as grateful as we ought to be. The idea seems to be suggested that the others were Jews. Here is this one, he comes back, he's a Samaritan. He's a foreigner. Weren't there any others who would come to give glory to God? The expectation would be that the Jews, the people of God, the people that were so proud to be God's chosen ones, would have been the ones to come back, but they weren't. And certainly it is true during this period of time that the Gentiles were often the ones who sought out God, who treasured the message that was being preached by Paul and others. And when he would go into the synagogues and would seek to proclaim the message, there were many Jews there. There were some Gentiles there that were there to hear the gospel as well. Oftentimes, the Jews would turn away from the truth and would blaspheme. The Gentiles would ask to hear it again. They appreciated the message of salvation. Let us never take for granted the wonderful blessings that we have, the privilege to have the Word of God. Here is the message of salvation. The Jews turned away from it. The Gentiles said, more please, again and again. We have before us the inspired Word of God, a treasure, the roadmap to heaven, a way to deal with discouragement, with sadness, a source of encouragement, a means of clarification when we have questions, should I do this, should I not? All that we need is supplied here. Do we appreciate it? Do we ask God more and more to fill our hearts and minds with understanding of His Word? Are we meditating upon it day and night? so that we might be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that will bear fruit in its season and its leaf will not wither. Psalm 1. What great blessings we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the case of this man, as Jesus tells him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. God wants us to have faith, though it may begin small, a faith that grows, a faith that will see us through trying times, and a faith that will eventually lead us to the side of the Lord when we stand before Him in judgment, knowing that we have fought the good fight, knowing that the race is completely finished and the reward is about to be received. Tonight, as you reflect upon your own life, are you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, or is sin something that still defiles your soul? Coming to Christ for this kind of healing, though, that is permanent, is described in the pages of God's Word again and again when we find people turning to the Lord. What must I do to be saved? Was the question often asked. And it begins with that faith that Jesus is the Son of God, repentance, turning from that kind of living that is self-centered, acknowledging our faith in Jesus Christ through confession and being baptized so that our sins can be washed away, and then continuing faithfully with the Lord every day as servants of the Most High God, realizing who we belong to and why we're here and what we're all about. If you need to respond to His invitation to come and be washed or to be restored to a faithful walk with Him, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing.